you can get better. I think as we grow as humans and we advance in our careers, we can get comfortable in what we're doing and what we've always done. And to try something new, just like with anything, say whenever you went to school for the first time, it's uncomfortable. And we have to get over that. And that's really what it is. It's a lot of times having the confidence to try something new.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. Growing a company today is no longer the same as it used to be 5 years back. Today, your customers expect you to be thought leaders in your industries. While we have been using social media to enhance our personal and company brands for quite some time, the game has entirely changed in the last 3 years. The companies that are actively promoting their brand and encouraging their employees to elevate personal brands will have a substantial edge compared to the rest. In today's episode, we have our guest, Katie Thomas, from Leaders Online, who discusses the importance of personal brands and why personal branding is essential for personal growth and corporate branding. We also had a chance to touch on why accounting and finance subject matter expertise is critical for marketers to reduce marketing spend. Finally, she also covered how executives can drive their employees to be more active on social media to generate opportunities. Let me introduce Katie to you. Katie Thomas, CPA, is the owner of Leaders Online, a digital agency that helps executives increase their influence, impact, and income through thought leadership marketing. Leaders Online serves clients all around the world and works with some of the top accounting and finance professionals. With that, let's get to the conversation. All right, Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sam. Thanks so much for having me on.
Just to kick things off, do you want to start with your personal story and what you are working on these days?
Yes. So my name's Katie Thomas. I am a CPA and I run a online digital agency called Leaders Online, where we help executives increase their influence, impact, and income through thought leadership marketing. So my career started out probably a lot different from many digital agency owners and service providers out there. I actually started out in public accounting. So I am a CPA and I continue to hold my license today. And, you know, it's interesting because I got into public accounting actually in a way where I was going to college. I was working at my family-owned business at the time doing sales and marketing. I loved it. And everyone said, you should get an accounting degree. Accounting is the language of business. And so I took accounting. I was like, wow, this is, you know, it comes really natural to me. It makes a lot of sense. But it's interesting because all along I was like, I don't know if this is for me. But, you know, the years go on, I graduate. And the next step is you might as well get your CPA because you went to school, you got a degree in accounting, and you should go ahead and get the CPA. So went ahead, got the CPA. Well, to make your license actually active, and you can pass the test, but then you have to work. So I went to work at a public accounting firm. I went to work at Ernst & Young. And the whole time while I was there, I kept wanting to do sales and marketing. And I actually went to one of the partners there. And after working there for a few years, I said, I enjoy my work and I was getting to work on some really great projects, but I know that my heart is in marketing and in sales and creating relationships with people. I really want to go into business development. Is there an opportunity? And I got this blank look, like, what are you talking about? There was basically, they said, you know, you're a CPA, and unless you're in a partner, there's just really not an opportunity here. And that's when I recognized that these CPAs, and I'm sure very similar for a lot of other similar professions out there, you really aren't taught the skill set to grow a brand, to create an online presence in today's world. And then you get to this partner level and you're just expected to know how to do it. And so I thought, well, there's probably an opportunity here to go out and help accounting firms. That's where we started with doing just that. And so when I left, I took the skill sets that I had learned at working in the accounting firm, knowing their business and how they operate, some of their pain points, how they serve clients, knowing how to speak their language, and went to them and said, look, here's what we can do. Here's this opportunity. Is this something you're interested in? And it's been a really cool journey to see how there's all of these amazing professionals out in this place. They have great businesses. They offer amazing services that transform lives, but their reach and their impact that they could be making, it's not tapped into because they aren't taking advantage of this amazing opportunity to market themselves and be confident in marketing themselves.
Okay, amazing. So there are some very interesting points here that I would like to dig deeper into. But before that, I am going to ask one question that we ask all of our guests. And that is going to be, what is your perspective on growth, Katie? What does growth mean to you?
So when I hear the word growth, I think of getting bigger, getting better. And so, of course, as humans, we can become better. We can develop ourselves physically, mentally, spiritually. As business owners, we can grow a bigger business, create a bigger bottom line. But really, when I truly think of growth and what that means to me is, how can we as humans get bigger, create a bigger impact that spreads to more people and creates a better world as a collective? So as people and as business owners, executives, it's not just about becoming better as ourselves, but it's about growing and impacting others along the way.
So now we are going to move on to the other things that you mentioned as part of your intro. And one of the things that makes me super curious about your CPA designation, and you are still maintaining that, that could be hard, I guess, as a sales and marketer. Because, and I don't know if you find the sales and marketing world more exciting. I think you do, because that's what you mentioned as part of your intro. So do you still like going through the CPA curriculum, or do you not?
I like it because I think that everything that I have to do for, say, continuing education, it not only helps me as a business owner and a leader become better and grow my business, but it allows me to understand what a lot of our clients are dealing with and help educate them on, say, for example, this CARES Act that came out when COVID hit, or this new legislation that just came out. It allows me to stay up to date so that I can even help them communicate better with their prospect market and their current clients.
Yeah, and I find this thing very interesting because, you know, I don't know if any marketers out there are actually going to have CPA designation. It's very hard to find that. And in my opinion, when somebody is in sales and marketing, they should understand the language their client speaks in great depth. Okay, this is the challenge that we have seen across manufacturing. And I ask this from marketing agencies that are focusing on manufacturing. Okay, why are you focusing on manufacturing? Can you speak manufacturing? And the same question I'm going to ask you, Katie, you are speaking with accounting and accountants, right? And you need to be able to speak their language. And I can almost guarantee that the other folks that are not CPA will not be as deep in their insight when they are writing the content. So in your opinion, having a CPA designation, does it matter? If yes, why?
So it doesn't matter from a sense of, are you capable of doing, marketing at all? But like you said, it when you can speak your client's language and truly understand their business, it allows you to provide a lot better service to them, and also to allow your message that you're creating for them to resonate better with their prospect. So I don't want to say that it's having a CPA designation is an end-all be-all, but I think that what having a designation like that what it does is it helps qualify you to the applicable party that you aren't just saying that you understand their business, but you truly, you've been tested and you've passed that test. So you really do get it.
Yeah, and your clients don't have to spend as much time in training you when they you are writing content for them, creating the marketing collateral for them. You are probably going to understand when you walk in the door of your clients, right?
Exactly. And it goes further than just, you know, coming up with topics, but it's, you know, fact-checking the blog post. It's making sure that we can write what's relevant today, because as anyone who's tried to file a tax return ever knows, the tax laws are constantly changing. So it's just the whole process of marketing becomes easier.
Yeah. And you bring a very interesting perspective, because you mentioned about that blank look during your introduction with your partner. And if I go back to my journey as well, and I have had sort of the crossover as well, you know, a little bit of sales and marketing, a little bit of IT and finance, and I can relate so much. So when you were growing up, you know, you had two choices. Either you were meant for sales and marketing, or you were meant for slightly more back office job. And more I'm seeing in the market, they are going for the crossover. So in your opinion, when you had this this journey in the partner firm, obviously, you must have realized that the CFOs don't really have as deep sales and marketing skills, or I don't know if deep is the right word there, to be honest, to describe the sales and marketing skills. But everybody needs the communication skills. Everybody needs the sales skills to be able to succeed in their job. So what would be your perspective for CFO and COOs in developing those skills and why they are so important to have?
Yeah, so I think that it first just comes with acknowledging that you may have great technical skills, but non-technical skills are equally as important. And what got you to where you're at now can't always get you to where you want to go. And so if you can look at it in the way of, I may be really good in this area, but I'm okay with accepting that when I try something new, I may not be as good, but I can learn and I can improve and I can get support from, you know, maybe it's someone internal to your company or it's someone you hire. You can get better. I think as we grow as humans and we advance in our careers, we can get comfortable in what we're doing and what we've always done. And to try something new, just like with anything, say whenever you went to school for the first time, it's uncomfortable. And we have to get over that. And that's really what it is. It's a lot of times having the confidence to try something new and recognize that it may be difficult, but there's a lot of opportunities that we can capitalize on and create a bigger impact if we are to take that chance.
Okay, so what are some of the specific skills that you see are missing in the, let's say, you know, finance or operations executive that they can improve on?
So if we're going to look at from like a marketing standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of skills that anybody can learn. But what I like to do is focus on like, what are the things that you specifically need to be involved in? Because there's a lot of skills that you really, you know, you should just have a professional do. It's not the best use of your time. And the skills that they really should be investing time in is making sure that they're actively participating in creating their personal brand and their company brand. Because whenever you think about all the brands that are popular and ones that people know, it's because they give you feelings. You think about Nike, you know, it's Just Do It. It's like in the Olympics. There's Amazon. It's quick. It's fast. You think about like a personal brand, let's say like even like Will Smith, he's funny. They all give you feelings. And as CEOs and COOs, we have to be actively curating and participating in developing that brand and what feelings we want to evoke and what kind of inspiration or motivation or change that we want our company to create through our products or services.
Yeah, so two words that you mentioned is the personal branding and company branding. And I'm seeing a lot of changes overall in the marketplace in last 3 years, especially the way platforms like LinkedIn is going at this point of time, especially for B2B businesses. So obviously personal branding is huge because that actually helps with your career. Other folks need to know you. So whatever content you are writing on LinkedIn, a lot of operations folks and the finance folks are becoming active on LinkedIn as well, but they are not as active as the sales and marketing folks. So I don't know what is going to be your perspective on that. Katie, what would be your recommendation to some of these finance and operations executive in improving their personal brand?
Oh my goodness. I work with those exact people every single day. And if you're wanting to create a personal brand online, you should absolutely start with social media. It's not going to require a lot of your time, and you can create your personal brand, get it out into the world very quickly. But it's going to take you creating content, because content is how people get to know you. And I know from having the same conversation every single day with people just like you who are listening to this episode, that whenever you bring up creating content, it can be very intimidating because you may not know what type to create. You may think that you don't have time to create it. But really, the truth is, Sam, the truth is that everyone has all the content they need inside of them, especially if they're at this COO, CEO level. And you don't need a lot of time to create it. But what you do need to do is understand the different types of content that you can create and some simple frameworks around, like, how do you actually present that content so that people can easily consume it and take the action that you want them to take from that content. How do you actually get them to do it? And you can just use a framework.
Okay. And this is my challenge with, working with marketing people, to be honest. I mean, they get deep into the content and copy. And let's say if I'm the operations or finance executive, I don't even understand what content word means. So can you tell me what are different types of content? What can I create myself so that my personal brand is going to be stronger on social media?
Yeah. So let's just take it a step back. And whenever you think about creating content, and we'll call them posts right now, if we're saying just creating a post on LinkedIn, you have to understand that really there's an art and a science to it. And the art is what's going to really make your post stand out. And the art's going to be your stories, your experiences, how you actually teach or talk about a subject. That's good. What's going to make it successful. Now, anyone can learn the science. So the science is going to be the tactics of the post. So the length of the post, the hashtags, the buzzwords, but the art, that's what's going to make your content, your post stand out. So this is your unique stories, your experiences, your ways of teaching. And that is really learning the art. That's what's going to make you successful. And if it weren't for this art piece, social media wouldn't be as powerful. But the great thing is, too many people worry about the science, the tactics, what hashtag should I use, but they forget about this art and they lose touch with their audience. So the art is what's going to connect you to your audience, but the science, that's going to be kind of what helps speed up or enhance the art that you're putting out there.
Okay, so let's talk about personal branding a bit more overall from the career perspective. You know, we have touched on this a bit, but overall, let's say if I am an executive, okay, and I don't know how much time it is going to take from my side on a daily basis in creating the content, in going to LinkedIn, and I'm not even sure how it is going to help me. So tell me why personal branding matters.
Personal branding matters because it's ultimately how people do business with people. I mean, people buy from people and companies that they resonate with. They don't just buy the product or the service because they buy from you. And how you put yourself out there, whether it's positively, negatively, not at all, you're creating a brand for yourself. So if you actively develop your personal brand, you're out there making a impact and creating an opportunity for you to try to create a perception that you desire. So let's say you do nothing, you might be creating a perception that you don't desire, but you can take charge of that and actively create the perception that you want and you desire people to perceive of you, your company, your services, your products.
So this could be very applicable for the sales and marketing guys. And, you know, if I'm the operations or the finance guy, my expectation is going to be this is the job of my sales and marketing team. So why, as an operations or the finance person, I should care for the personal branding, and why I should invest my time in personal branding?
Well, you should absolutely invest your time in it, because you're creating opportunities for not just your company, but also yourself. I believe that as we actively develop ourselves, and if we're open to sharing that, we're developing others, and we're creating an opportunity for people to really connect with us on a deeper level. Because as we share stories that people can relate to and learn from, and that's a lot of what personal branding is it's just sharing stories and showing that you're a human. That's going to create connections that you don't know what could result of them, whether it's actually like a business opportunity for your company, or it's a personal opportunity for a friendship, or maybe it's another job opportunity down the road, or maybe it's a partnership opportunity where you start up your own company. You don't know where that could lead to and what opportunities, but again, it goes back to, at the end of the day, we're all people and we're all striving for this collective growth as a society and as a world as a whole. And you creating your personal brand, it's just plugging right into that growth.
Yeah, so I'm completely on board with that. But let's take a scenario. Let's say I'm the operations and finance guy. Obviously, I care for the world and I care for the society as well. But I need to worry about my own priorities too. I've got 24 hours in my clock. And I work, let's say if I'm the operations or finance executive, I work 12 to 15 hours a day. I have to take care of my family. And now I have to spend time for the personal branding. As far as the opportunities go, I have a stable job. I don't really care for the opportunities as much. So why does personal branding matter for me if I'm not necessarily looking for an opportunity? And you did mention that job opportunities down the road. So how big is going to be a factor, let's say in the future, especially what we have seen in the last 3 years with respect to personal branding, how much personal branding is going to be relevant in hunting for the next job?
I think it's only going to continue to become more relevant and much more of a, say, requirement that you have a brand there. I mean, just look at changes on social media platforms over, you mentioned, like the past 3 years, and everything's changed. For example, on Facebook, a few years ago, you could create a post on your company page and get it seen by thousands of people. Today, if you're not paying and you're not running an ad, it's going to get seen by hardly anyone, most likely. So when are you thinking about, like, why should I care if I'm that person who has a stable job? I already working 14, 15 hours a day. It's to remain relevant. This is where the future is going. And as you're in this position, you're part of your job, no matter what your job is, even if you're the finance professional, is you need to remain relevant. And part of doing that is being active online. And it's not while you're online, you know, maybe it's connecting with then other people in your position, seeing what they're doing, what maybe they're doing better than you, what you can improve upon. It all goes back to, though, you growing and developing and staying relevant.
Right. So let's talk about some of the content that you mentioned. So let's say if I'm the finance or operations guy, I don't feel that I have anything exciting to talk about, to be honest. I'm not even sure how I'm going to be judged when I am actually going to be sharing any content. So what are some of the things that I can consider when I am creating these posts?
So I like to say there's four types of content. And when I say types, I don't mean like video, text, audio, but really like four different sectors of content. And the first one is educational. So this is typically really easy for people to come up with. And it's going to be like tips and teachings, action steps that people can take to reach their goal. It could be myth busting. So as the finance guy, you likely are really close to understanding what products and services you offer. Even if you're in the financials, you understand what's being sold. So What are maybe some myths around those products and services? What do people need to know about them? That's all going to be educational. Then there's branded content. So branded content is going to be stories about your journey, impactful moments in your life, turning points that led you to where you're at now. So maybe why did you get to the position that you're at? Maybe why did you leave your previous job? It could also be like your why, if you've read like Simon Sinek. It could be your hobbies, quirks, interests, anything that others can connect with. So, you know, what do you enjoy doing outside of your work? Where do you get some mental relaxation in? What do you like to do on the weekends? All those things, they're important. People want to know that you're human. Then there's also professional content. So what's going on in your industry? Are there changes that are going to impact you, your clients? What's going on in your organization? Are you looking to hire? Are you, you know, changing technology? What are you struggling with? If you're open to sharing, maybe you're, what are you looking for? So new staff, new clients, networking groups, testimonials, you could have post, community involvement's also great. And then finally, what we see a lot of content, and can turn people off social media is monetization content. So launching, pitching, promotions, announcements, event invites. And monetization content's not bad. People absolutely need to know what you have to offer them, but you just need to make sure that you're not only doing that. And within that, we have these four categories. It's really important to note that there can be overlap. One post could be in multiple categories. So let me give you an example. Let's say that you, I work with a lot of accountants. So let's say you're an accountant and you have an educational post about three ways you could reduce your taxes this year. And then at the end, you say, you know, if you'd like to learn some more tips, then go ahead and sign up for my webinar here. So you had a monetization piece, you did have some sort of promotional post, but you also gave some education in it. Another thing was, let's say that you're, you know, an executive coach, you could say, here are three things that you need to consider this year when you're looking to create a more purpose-led organization with transformative business results. And then again, you could say, you know, if you want to learn more about this, then be sure to sign up for my newsletter, where I send out weekly tips or, you know, something like that. So whenever you start looking at these different categories, we all can create branded content. We all have a story. We all have things that we like to do outside of work or that got us to where we're at now. None of us just ended up in the position that we are today, just because we woke up. We did certain things. And same with educational content. You're an expert in what you do. And, you know, whether it's teaching about your job or teaching about the product and services that the company offers, that's all stuff that you can easily talk about and discuss.
Okay, so now we are going to move on to the other topic that I really wanted to talk about, which is going to be company branding that you mentioned in the conversation. So in my opinion, I think the onus is really on the companies, how they want to position themselves on social media, because from the when you look at the organization perspective or the company perspective, it's one company. It's not sales and marketing versus accounting and IT. It doesn't work that way. For company, it's going to be, when we look at the company branding, it's going to be opportunities for the company. The more opportunities that the company has, obviously, it's great for their growth. So some companies, especially when I look at some of the startups, Katie, what they are doing is they have incorporated this as part of their performance model or as part of their comp model, that you need to be active on social media. Everybody. Does not matter whether you are a CEO or janitor. Everybody needs to be posting the content on LinkedIn. Everybody needs to be liking the content that company is posting or commenting or whatever. Because, you know, when you, let's say your sales or marketing team is sharing the content, it's just 5 or 10 people who are going to be there. But let's say if your whole company spends time on social media, now we are talking about 50 people trying to influence the content, trying to promote the content. That could be a big deal. So when I look at these startups, they're really going after each and every employee that they got, and they are trying to encourage them, okay, go to social media and promote the content. But when we look at the bigger companies, they don't necessarily have that. And in my opinion, we have seen this in the last 3 years, and this is probably going to be more relevant in the next 3 to 5 years, that the companies that are promoting their employees to promote the content on social media are going to have competitive edge. So what is your perspective on that, Katie, when it comes to company branding?
Absolutely. I completely agree, Sam. And they're going to, I believe, have a competitive edge, of course, from getting noticed by their desired market. But I also think that acquiring top talent is another big one where they're going to have a competitive edge. Because as someone, say, fresh out of college or middle-aged and on LinkedIn looking for a new job, whenever I see this company that's clearly communicating their brand, their values, what they stand for, their culture, and I see a bunch of people engaged with it, I want to be a part of that. It's just like going to, say, high school. People want to be a part of the group. They want to be a part of the cool kids. And if you aren't creating that online, that community, that culture, then yeah, you're going to get left behind. And I think that a lot of times people do that are starting to think about this, they think, well, maybe we're missing out on, you know, the market share. But it's like, what about also all that wonderful talent? That's huge. As you know, getting the right people in your organization, helping you build it is huge. And so I think we need to consider that too.
So where should the motivation come from? So let's say if you were the CEO of a company, Katie, and you are, let's say if you were running a manufacturing or distribution business, and you want to make sure that you are able to tap the opportunities when it comes to personal branding, company branding, but at the same time, the employees need to be focused as well in their work. Right? Because you need to make sure you are making money, you are finding some opportunities as well, because some of these efforts on social media could be harder to track when it comes to ROI. So where should the drive come from? Where should the motivation come from? Does it need to come from the CEO? Does it need to come from HR? Does it need to come from sales and marketing?
So I think that's an interesting question. And, you know, how people are motivated is different for everyone. I think that having a general consensus that encouraging everyone to post is great. Some companies I've heard, they actually offer you a bonus or an incentive based upon your participation on social media. And that's going to be individual to each company if they want to do that. But I think that something that all companies can do beyond just encouraging people to post is helping them understand how they can do it. Because whenever we do something new, if we don't have instructions or feel like we can confidently take that first step, then it's a lot more difficult. If someone can come in and not just say, hey, post on social media, but here are some samples of posts that you can create. Here are some formats that you can use. Here are some hashtags that you can use. Here are some ways that you can schedule your post. Here are maybe some places you can get stock photos. Just a simple training and education around it, that can go a long way to getting people to take part in being active on social media.
Okay, amazing, Katie. This has been a fun conversation. I hope you enjoy it. That's pretty much for today. Do you have any last minute closing thoughts?
Yeah, well, thanks, Sam. Thanks so much for having me. As the closing thoughts, it doesn't matter if you're talking about your company brand or your personal brand. People want to know that there's a human behind you. So there's a human behind the company, there's humans, and behind your brand, there's a human. So anything that you do as you're looking to develop your brand, just remember that people do want to know you're a human. So one of the things that anyone can do today is just get on LinkedIn and spend 30 minutes and voice message your newest connection. Say hello, introduce yourself, and wish them well. That you will be shocked at how many people respond and are amazed that you took the time to send them a personal voice message. That's really what I think is so important to remember as we are in a digital world, is you can't replace you. And the more that you can have you involved in it, the more success you're going to see from it.
Yeah, could not agree more. The more human your company is, the better you are going to do with respect to your hiring, with respect to your growth. So with that note, thank you so much, Katie, for your time and insight.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate you.
I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about Katie or Leaders Online, head over to leaders-online.com. That is leader-online.com. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Brian Burke from SellYourMac.com, who touches on his growth secrets and how they became the fastest growing company on INC 5000 three times. Also the interview with Corey Warfield from Corey Connects, where he discussed how to hack LinkedIn algorithms and grow your company using LinkedIn strategies. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.